This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Please welcome
Rich Eisen.
What a story. Can't believe it.
The Denver Nuggets will go to the NBA Finals.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Love it.
Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Eagles tackle, Lane Johnson. Coming up, Saints wide receiver, Chris Olave. From the new film, The Machine, actor Jimmy Tatro. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Chris Mannix joined us in hour number one, and we chopped it up with him about how the Nuggets swept out the Lakers and what is LeBron saying when he says he needs to think about continuing to play in the NBA. And he gave us also, Chris, something to think about as he left the building to talk about the big whoa moment that might happen in the offseason that's coming up this summer. If you missed any of that, you're watching on Roku, on the Roku channel, stay tuned. It will repeat as soon as we're done with this hour. Chris Olave with the Saints, slated to call in any moment right now amidst their organized team activities. Jimmy Tatro, who plays Bert Kreischer as a young man in The Machine, which is coming out in theaters near you on Friday. He's about to walk in our front door, into our green room, and then into our set for hour number three. We also just had a nice chat with Lane Johnson of the Eagles. So you can catch all of that. Again, there's a podcast version of our show that we hope you subscribe to through the Cumulus Podcast Network. There's also our video collection page, the Rich Eisen Show Collection, as part of our Roku channel relationship, video on demand service. You can watch the full show back whenever you want. You can also watch videos and carefully go down a wormhole. The same thing happens as well on our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over 550,000 subscribers and growing every single day. We appreciate every last one of you. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their spots. TJ Jefferson also in his spot. What if Damian Lillard is up for grabs this summer, as Chris Mannix said, for us to keep an eye on? And I know Blazer fans, that would really crush them. But they've got the number three overall pick in this draft. And if they do not get any veteran return for this individual that they could draft instead to start from scratch and then trade Lillard to grow and start from scratch, if they don't get for the number three overall pick, who's going to be either Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller, right?
Or, you know, maybe Vic. We don't know.
Yeah, right. So if the Blazers say, you know what, we would rather just burn it down to the ground.
Start from scratch.
Start from scratch with either Brandon or Scoot and everyone else that we have here, you know, with Coach Billups, and start from scratch and net us an insane amount of picks and maybe some other quality young players and send Lillard elsewhere? Or do they say to somebody, you can get Scoot or Brandon and you give us a couple of veterans that we can win with Lillard right here, right now? And they say, okay, this is doable for us. We can win right now. That's the choice the Blazers have involving number zero in your program, number one in the hearts and minds of Blazer fans everywhere. Because I could just see him, you know, on a Knicks.
Of course you could.
And changing their entire fortune, him and Brunson as backcourt mates.
You gonna run them together?
You get rid
what
of
are you gonna do?
You gotta get rid of Randall, maybe.
That's the one. That's the guy that you're thinking about.
Yeah.
But you know,
they might ask for RJ Barrett back.
Yeah. Done. Yeah. Done. Done.
Bunch of draft picks.
Done.
Dame's owed a lot of money.
Sold.
That's the thing that some of these teams have to think about.
Dolan's got it. Go over. Whatever.
33 years old, and
he'll be 33 this fall.
$60 million a year for.
You don't think, let's put him in the backcourt when you want to send Marcus Smart west? What do you do? Jaylen Brown?
I don't know. I'm not thinking about that yet.
What about you? What about you in Philadelphia?
Hey, you, bro, I pounded the table in 2020 for him to come to the Sixers. You already know how I feel.
It's silly for me to sit here and play, you know, like fake GM and what it would take.
No, it's not silly, Rich. This is fun. This is the fun part of the job.
I'm not touching Brunson.
Oh, no.
You say you're going to run them together? The answer is yes, of course you're going to run them together.
Well, I'm just saying, two point guards, I don't know.
What do you care?
Would Brunson and Dame, would that collectively work?
Yeah, doesn't fit. Maybe I should think twice about it before running that down to Philadelphia.
That's what I'm saying. For you guys, it doesn't make sense.
What about the Clips? What about your Clippers?
Fine.
They would want to send him east. They don't want a piece of him.
No. He's going to the east. Yeah, of course.
By the way, guys, I have to let you know, I was thinking about just getting rid of both of my teams, and it was the heat of the moment, and I was hurt.
Spurs!
I'm still, I got to wait and see how the coach situation plays out. But I was hurt. I was speaking from a point of pain. Rich, you know what I'm saying. We've already
put the Spurs banner on our meme of all of your sports teams, TJ. We can't just remove it.
No, we could.
You guys, man. You're like, I'm rooting for whoever gets.
I told
Victor
you I was
Wembanyama.
Hurt. You understand this?
I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna root for that team. And you're
you were all about it.
And you're like, Tatum stinks. No, we're finished. We're done.
He's the worst.
This stinks. I'm on a rant.
Yeah, I was right at the time.
Two of you guys, man.
At the time.
Oh, look, listen to you. Like, you don't sit there and curl up in a ball every time Michigan was getting pounded by Ohio State.
But
you
I wasn't saying I'm going to start rooting for Wisconsin.
Well, that's a different story.
Get out of here.
It's a different situation altogether.
It is. Exactly. I didn't sit here and say I'm finished. And I never, by the way, ever called for Harbaugh's job. Not once. Not once.
Maybe you should have.
No.
Good job, TJ.
Not at all.
I mean, after eight straight L's.
Excuse me. The worm has
turned. Taco Lee got 3 years.
And let me tell you something. You know what I'm already preparing for?
Losing this year?
No.
Oh, three-peat?
My trip to Canton, Ohio, coming up.
I told you, man.
All I'm just going to say is I'm going to go on that stage in Canton, Ohio, in the downtown Civic Auditorium or arena.
Beautiful facility.
Beautiful spot. I'm going to come to that podium, suited and booted, ready to host the jacket dinner in front of 5,000 individuals, many of them locals and people from the great state, a football-loving state of Ohio.
Yep.
I will go with an open heart and an open mind and no intention to say anything. But if I'm trifled with, like last year.
Nobody believes that.
I'm not going to come and just show up. And just,
wipe
my
that.
Feet all over their home and disrespect. Crap. Wait a minute. We did that last November.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's no way.
You're not going to go close.
You're going to put your feet all over Andy's couch.
I'm workshopping.
I'm
right now, I'm workshopping.
Yeah, put your foot on Andy's
couch. I'm not abandoning. I don't abandon.
But you're going to have it ready just in case.
You don't have a drop of me talking about Michigan like you have of this man. At all.
Show up. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And you know what? And you know why? You're not a real fan.
I am passionate. I am irrational.
I make brash moves. I say brash things into this microphone. Yes. That's what I'm feeling at the time. You're too, I want to be level-headed and nuanced.
Yeah.
Level-headed.
That's not what fans do.
Yeah.
Fans aren't level-headed or nuanced. Sure. What are you, crazy?
I'm the one who's talking about Rodgers and it's a honeymoon and his calf muscle that I'm not going to let it get me down.
But if he hasn't technically played for you
yet. I'm opening myself up now.
No.
I'm totally opening myself up.
If you were a real fan, you would have saw the tweets yesterday of Lazard in a heap. Oh, he got hit in the Musburgers, but like in a heap, crowd around him.
Yeah.
Rodgers limps off. That would have set you spiraling.
No, I don't need a spiral. I have a level head, but I'm still a great fan. I'm still an absolute zealot when it comes to rooting for my team.
Fans don't use words like zealot.
Yeah, that is a good point. I never said zealot.
Microphone and torch the place.
Sometimes you got to do that.
And then you.
Wait, talk to me. What?
You're like, I'm finding a new team because I'm sick and tired of it.
I was hurt, man. Can't you understand pain?
I can.
Okay.
I'm hurt. You're asking a Jet fan and a Michigan Wolverine fan about not understanding pain?
And I think I'm doing two teams doing dumb stuff and losing. Just give me Dame Lillard. Put him on one of those
teams. You out of your mind.
All right.
Even with my team doing as well as it did the last couple of years, I had to sit there and wonder if the coach is leaving. Come on.
Let's get back to that zealot.
You guys,
thing.
Man.
Zealot. Zealot. Big word.
Fans don't use big words. You think Fireman Ed knows what zealot means?
Sure I do.
No clue.
None. The only time I ever hear zealot is religious zealot.
He only knows how to spell four-letter words. And utter them. Even he gave up on the Jets after the butt fumble. You remember that?
He quit.
He did.
And now he's back like a bandwagon.
I know. He's fitting perfectly around here.
What is he doing?
I am a diehard, as you know. I never turn my back on Michigan. And I'm a diehard Michigan fan, which means I'm thrilled and welcome to the Rich Eisen Show, one of the best in the National Football League, coming out of the Ohio State University. Thrilled to have back here on the Rich Eisen Show from the New Orleans Saints, Chris Olave. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great, man. Appreciate you guys for having me.
I appreciate you coming on. What are you up to? What's going on with you today?
Nothing much, man. Just a little train at the facility right now. We're doing an off-season workout, so just doing that right now.
Okay. And how does your new quarterback look from your perspective, Chris?
He looked great, man. I can't wait to continue to work with him, continue to build that chemistry. But we're off to a good start right now.
How does one build chemistry, Chris? How do you do it?
Just repetition, man. Just practicing and knowing the ins and outs of guys. And I feel like just over time, over and over repetition, I feel like that's how you get better over time.
Have you done it outside the facility? Had some sort of camp car anywhere? Has that happened yet, Chris?
Nah, not yet.
Okay.
But I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, and so what have you... Can you take me in some of the conversations that you've had about what you like, what he likes, and what does that conversation sound like between a wide receiver and a quarterback, Chris?
It's just learning each other's body language, where you're going to be, certain routes, how you get in and out of breaks, just little things like that all add up into building that chemistry. So I feel like we're off to a good start, but I feel like there's more and more practice going to make us a lot better. So,
how does Michael Thomas look to you?
He look good, man. I'm excited to get back on the field with him. I can't wait to play with him. That's one of the most exciting things I was looking forward to last year, but unfortunately he went down. So I'm excited to get back on the field with him.
So I'm just wondering if you did he ever reach out to you when you were in college? Did you know him before becoming a teammate of his?
Oh, yeah, I know him a little bit before college when I was in college. He reached out. He always showed love. When it was doing well, so he was one of those guys. So it was definitely exciting when I got drafted to New Orleans. So I was a guy I looked up to in college and watched him a lot in the NFL. So I'm excited he's my teammate.
I've got Chris Olave here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your biggest adjustment from college to the pros last year was what for you, Chris?
Just the length of the year. I feel like it's a lot more games, longer season. I feel like that's the biggest adjustment I had. And just going through that first year, I developed that. Now I know what it's going to be like, so I got to adjust to it.
What about defensive backs in the league? What about that?
We had a competition on Ohio State. I mean, I love competition, so it's always going to be good players around the league. So I'm excited whenever I go out there on Sundays.
What do you mean there was a competition? What do you mean?
I'm just saying I love competition. It's always going to be good players in the NFL, so it's always going to be a good player on the other side of the ball, but I look forward to matchups like that.
Oh, I see. So you say from college you were used to having great matchups in practice.
Oh, yeah, in practice.
So you were talking up your school right there. That's what you're saying.
You know that always.
Well, I got confused because you referred to it as Ohio State and not the Ohio State. I was thinking of it might have been a different school, Chris, you know?
Oh, man, you already know.
Just mixing it up. Like now, like, you know what I mean? Like you're used to mixing it up. I'm kind of mixing it up with you right now, you know? Okay. So last November, Cesar Ruiz on your team. What was that like last November, the center on your team?
Oh, man, we ain't tripping about it, man.
What do you mean?
They got a couple in the past, 20 years. They got the past too, but.
Yes.
I feel like it's going to flip this year.
So he didn't say anything to you in the locker room? Nothing?
I mean, of course.
Okay. What happened?
Of course they're going to talk after they win. But I'm still talking, too. I mean, we ain't backing down. So I feel like we're going to see this year in November. I can't wait for that game.
So it has not turned. You're saying it has not turned. So this is now still sort of an outlier. That's what you're saying, Chris.
Oh, yeah. You already know. It's still Ohio State all the way.
Okay. Well, now that Tom Brady's out of the division, you know, where he went to school, This is now considered a much more wide open division, even though you damn near won the thing last year anyway with Tom being there. How does your team talk about this upcoming season and the opportunity you have in the NFC South right now, Chris?
It's a lot of opportunity, man. I mean, a lot of teams are rebuilding or have young guys, but I feel like we just focus on ourselves and trying to max out our potential. We got a lot of great players and a lot of great players that just came in, so we got a winning culture and a great atmosphere over here, so we're excited for this year.
What's your personal goal for this year? What is it?
Just to win, man. I mean, last year I was struggling. I never really lost that much in a year, so it kind of hit me a lot. So I dedicated myself to just trying to win, doing everything I can to be able to put my team in a situation to win.
Well, but you personally didn't struggle last year. I mean, you put up numbers that you know, rivaled the rest of your, you know, fellow rookies at the position, as we all know. So Do you have something written down about for your own personal goals somewhere, Chris?
Not really, man. Like I said, I'm just trying to focus on the team.
Okay.
When the team wins, all the little statistics and all that stuff are going to be there. So just trying to put all my energy into that and just trying to build a winning culture here.
Okay. Do you have a good rivalry, I guess, personal with Garrett Wilson and with Jaxon Smith and Jigba and all the guys now across the NFL?
I want them to be the best they can. But I know they got a crazy potential and could be some of the best receivers in the league soon. So I just want to see that. And I don't think we got it right. I'm just excited for them to showcase that talent at the NFL level.
What advice do you have for Smith and Jigba coming in?
I just told him to be himself, man. That's one of the best receivers I've seen. Man, he's so natural. He's so gifted. And I just tell him to be himself and just stay away from all the bad stuff.
How good is Harrison Jr. coming in?
He's probably the best one, to be honest.
Really?
He's 6'4", 220. He's fast. He can run routes. He can catch everything come his way. So I've never seen nothing like it. And he was a freshman when I was my last year. So I can't believe what he's turned into.
Because that is the conversation. You know, obviously so many scouts were in Columbus this year for C.J. Stroud, Chris. And so and I don't think it was any coincidence that Marvin Harrison Jr. was running routes for C.J. that day among the many. And many scouts came away saying if he was eligible, he'd be the guy. And so you have no qualms saying he's the best out of all of you coming out of Columbus.
Yeah, for sure. He's the best.
Wow.
I can't wait to see what he does this year. He's probably going to get double teamed, but he probably still put up a lot of numbers. So I can't wait to see. And he's a great kid, too. So he deserves everything that's coming his way.
And what do you think about what advice would you give CJ going into what clearly is going to, it looks to me and everyone, as a starting role right from jump for him this fall?
He's blessed, man. He's only 20, 21 years old, and being a starting quarterback in the NFL, that's a huge blessing. So just I told him to just be him and stay humble. It's going to be a lot of ups and downs, but just stay level-headed and keep working through adversity. That's going to be at his best. So.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you taking the call and making it right here, and I hope we get to do it more often. In the meantime, you know, maybe we'll talk. Wow, I mean, your bye week. Are you going to go? It looks like your bye week is the Michigan Ohio State weekend. You don't go to the big.
Oh, really?
Yeah, looks like it.
Oh yeah, you know I'm gonna be there then.
Well, it's at the big house though. It's at the big house, Chris. It's at the big house.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be there then.
Really? You're gonna go?
It's Go Bucks forever.
So you would go into Ann Arbor, and go see this game.
Oh yeah.
Okay, because that's
no
what.
Question.
Again, I know you take it one at a time. It does look like, if I can just figure out dates here, it's entirely. Chris, will you look it up? Is it what Thanksgiving? Is that the 20th? Because it could be. You could be in Atlanta that week. I don't know. It's entirely possible, though, that, you know.
Yeah, if we got to buy that week, I'm going to be at that game.
Michigan Ohio State is November 25th.
Yeah, you're not. You're going to be in Atlanta. So here's what we'll do. That week, we'll just talk leading up to that week. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me.
Can I invite you back on for that week? I'll call the Saints right now and say, as long as you're up for it, let's chat, you know?
Yes, sir. That's perfect.
In the meantime, Chris, good luck to you. Let's talk before then, if not sooner. Have a great rest of your spring and summer, and we'll chat again soon. Congrats on your first season.
Appreciate you, man.
You got it. Right back at you. Right back at you. That's Chris Olave of the New Orleans Saints. How about that? These are, you know, players of his stature coming out of college. Certainly at the position that he plays. They like speaking things into existence and are not wallflowers and are very confident. And talking about, I'm the best. I'm the best.
Especially that position.
He's like Marvin Harrison Jr. He's better than all of us.
He's a beast.
How many people have told you this? Next year's draft is going to be insane.
Insane.
Caleb Williams, Drake May, and this kid's going to be third overall.
Yeah, and they all could or should go number one. Yeah.
I think I just gave you the first three names off the board in Detroit next year.
The draft starts at 4.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And if you're one of the top three.
And you don't, I mean, obviously you need, everyone needs Marvin Harrison.
Correct.
But
right.
If you don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, what if the Panthers end up getting number one? Well, they'll date trade down and all that.
I don't think, by the way, I think the Panthers are going to be really surprising this year with somebody who's a first overall rookie quarterback. And you know that they've got usually some speed bumps along the road, those kids. I know I've already put my marker on the Falcons. I've got my finger on that chess piece. I've removed my chess piece on the Lions.
Ooh.
To win the NFC North.
That's not your prediction anymore, or are you already?
That is. I've removed my finger. That chess piece is gone. But I've made my chess move on the Falcons.
Let go.
And I still have my finger on the piece.
Gotcha.
You're holding.
As you know, that's the way you play chess.
Yeah.
Right?
So you let go.
Till you let go, right?
Not official till you let go.
Have you ever seen The Queen's Gambit?
No.
You should see it. This has nothing to do with that.
It sounded good.
I'm just wondering, is that a rule? Isn't it a rule? You make a move, your fingers. Yeah. I've been taking my finger off it.
It's how it is in checkers.
Theoretically,
I'm not a chess player.
In a real chess
in
match.
In any game, by the way. Monopoly, anything.
When you hit the clock, you've given your move up.
Oh.
The clock.
So you could remove your finger from the piece
and then
put it back on?
Put it back on, but the clock.
Look at him.
Yeah, come on.
Mike Del Tufo is an expert.
Bobby
as we've
Fischer
seen now,
was my guy when I was a kid.
He's
I love
he's
Bobby.
An expert on Jokic because he's seen him play once.
Once. I went to one NBA game.
An expert on Jersey because he's been there forever.
I've lived there.
And now, who knew?
See, you had no idea.
A chess aficionado.
Chess.
You are a renaissance
chess
man.
I have a chess set in my house that is worth a
lot
of money.
Cannot spell renaissance.
He definitely can't spell renaissance.
Let's take a break. Jimmy Tatro is here.
Go. Machine!
He plays Bert Kreischer in a movie.
The Machine!
Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network has returned. Sitting on the Rich Eisen Show desk right now, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The man who's currently in home economics and is also well known for his work in American Vandal, also 22 Jump Street, but now playing Bert Kreischer, the young version of Bert in The Machine, which is in theaters near you this very Friday. Jimmy Tatro is here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let me just jump right into it.
Let's dive in.
How are you pitched the role of being a young Bert Kreischer? How did that happen?
do you mean to ask if I was offended by this?
That's one way to spin it.
Yeah, I think, well, they just said Bert was a big, he saw me in a show called The Guest Book. He was a big fan.
Yes.
Wanted me to play him in the movie. I quickly became familiar with the story, and
you're one of the 52 million people who have watched the viral machine video?
I am now, yeah.
Okay,
to be honest, I hadn't at the time heard of it.
Okay.
And it was funny because I was just trying to kind of get away from doing like the frat party guy.
Sure.
And then I saw this one and I was like, this is a pretty good one to do though. It's just such an epic story, and yeah, I was like, you know, I'll let Bert have this.
How does one then, because you're a professional actor, mm-hmm. and how does one prepare for the role of Bert Kreischer?
It was kind of easy just being with him, you know? You just hang with him on set the whole time. He's there right next to you. So if there's anything you're unsure about, you're just like... Okay, yeah, there we go.
The source material is to your right.
Yeah, and he was shirtless, I think, the majority of the shoot.
So you're looking at craft services, he's there without his shirt on.
There without his shirt on. You okay. Go to his house, he's there without his shirt on. You're going to hair and makeup, he's there without his shirt on. That's just his vibe.
Well, sometimes you go to his house, he has nothing on.
That's true, too.
You know?
That's true, too.
Okay, so did you, like, ever turn to him and say, you know, did this really happen? Does that really happen? Or you just,
yeah,
you did your own interpretation of this?
There was also, it was cool like, watching him watch the movie being shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was clearly, like, such an emotional thing for him.
Yes.
Where, like, there was one line that I said where I said, like, I don't go to class much. And he started crying. And I was like, what's up, man? You okay? And then he was like, no, it's just crazy. Like, I actually said this. And then now here we are. And there's a big movie being made. We're in Serbia. It's just surreal. And I was like, that's pretty cool. It's cool to, you know, hear a real quote that you said from 20 years ago in a movie now.
Well, now you and Harrison Ford have something in common. You're in a Mark Hamill film as well.
That I hadn't thought about it like
look
that.
Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
So what was it like being around him on the set?
Mark Hamill?
Yeah, man.
I mean, it was cool. That was also a little surreal, you know, just another guy that's just such a legend. And then you're just kind of hanging in the same room with him and all of a sudden it's casual. Every now and then you just got to kind of remind yourself, like, that's Luke Skywalker.
Did you ever play it, like, do you have to play it cool? You have to remind yourself you got to play this thing cool?
Yeah, I think I played it pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I just was, the way I played it cool is just not nice to him at all, you know?
Oh, okay, you just put him on.
I went completely
the other
way.
You
froze
him out? Yeah. You froze him out?
Yeah, froze him out.
Okay, fantastic. Jimmy Tatro is here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you shot this in Serbia?
In Serbia, yeah.
Okay.
And that was an interesting experience.
Okay.
Serbia was cool. It was not a place I'd ever, you know, been, obviously. Or really.
It hadn't been.
No, I hadn't been.
What's the furthest you've ever traveled somewhere?
Antarctica.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And
funny you ask. It's okay. Actually the furthest place you can go, I
is
think.
Is that right? What were you doing there?
I just got invited on this crazy trip.
By who?
Just a friend of mine who put together this kind of a wild trip. But it did feel like, it felt like the furthest I've been. Like, it felt like you were packing to go to space, basically.
Okay. So, what do you mean? It was a friend, like, hey, I'm going to Antarctica, and...
Yeah.
Seems like you're...
Something like that.
You're kind of hiding something from me right now, Jimmy.
Okay, it was a heist.
Okay. What do you mean it was a heist?
No, it wasn't a heist. It was just, it was just an interesting group of people that a friend put together to go on this.
We want names.
Big, I know. I don't want to be the name dropper, though.
You have to be. Are you kidding me? First of all, let me just put it this way. I am one of the worst name droppers of all time.
Worst or best? Worst or best?
It depends how you view the language, you know?
I would say best.
I don't mind it. I don't mind a name drop.
All right, I'll give one name. How about that?
Sure, okay.
Sean White.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We went snowboarding in Antarctica.
You went snowboarding with Sean White?
Yeah.
How good are you at snowboarding?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm not like Sean White good, but, you know, I can... We can hang together I'll just do less cool stuff than him.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. I'm going to give full disclosure now. In this chair on Friday, Bert Kreischer told me, ask him about Antarctica.
Because he knew I wouldn't want to give names.
That's what he said. Because I said, as he was going out the door.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got Jimmy Tatro coming on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you got to ask him about Antarctica.
Because I did his podcast and he was drilling me for names. And then I told him off the record and also let him know, like, I don't really want to, like, expose, you know, all these names, all the people I was with.
So it was more than just Sean White.
Oh, man.
I'm in
too deep now. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a lot of cool people, but I gave one, you know.
How about initials? What if we get initials?
How about this? Are they also famous Winter Olympic athletes?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
did you rob anything? Did you literally, was it a heist?
I stole some ice.
What do you mean?
I caught some wild ice while we were out there.
What do you mean? What's wild ice, Jimmy?
Well, they told you, you know, a lot of the ice in Antarctica is there's like natural gases that have been trapped in there for hundreds of thousands of years.
Right.
So when you like crack open some of the icebergs and you put it in your drink, it makes like a little Rice Krispies sounding
noise. Like Pop Rocks or something like that?
Yeah, like Pop Rocks kind of. So we caught some... caught some wild ice while we were out on the boat.
And then you put it in a...
Had a hammer, broke it up. Uh-huh. And
what'd you put in?
You know, tequila mostly.
Okay. And?
But I was very proud of it. You know, the whole time we're breaking up the ice, I was like, I caught this ice. I caught this ice out at sea.
Yeah. And all I do is I just go to a fridge and I just put a glass on it and something comes. And I just, you know...
That works too.
My big adventure is, do I go crushed or do I go cubed? You know, and then I hit the button and it comes out of my glass.
What do you usually go for?
You know what? I do crushed. Yeah. I'm a crushed ice guy. This, by the way, story about catching wild ice and then letting some gas that's been there for about 200,000 years loose sounds like a bad or a good, awful storyline in some sort of science fiction movie.
Right.
Like you're letting out, like, honestly, like suddenly.
All of a sudden.
Right.
There's some mutations going on.
Right. Something's jumping out of your chest because you just caught wild ice and put it into your tequila. You know?
We warned you about the ice. We had one rule. We said, don't catch the ice.
In a world where they told him not to catch the wild ice and break it open.
Wild ice.
Jimmy Chatro and the machine, too. Oh, my gosh. All right. So that's it. That's the story. But it is. So, okay. Scale of 1 to 10.
Uh-huh.
The story you're not telling us.
It's a 10. I hate to do it, but it was the craziest trip I've ever been on.
And over under of how many other people were on this trip?
It was like 15 of us.
15 of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Over under of people's names we would recognize of the 15. We're setting it at 7.5. I'm taking the over. Is that a win?
No, I was under 7.5.
Under 7.5.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to get.
How's the half figure into it?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because you can't, you know.
Was Wee Man there?
No, it's got nothing to do with half a human. It's just like you have to.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't want him to say, oh yeah, it's a tie. Can't have it. I got to win something here.
That's why you got to go 7.5.
Okay. There's no tie. Very good. All right. So what did you learn about about Bert Kreischer, Jimmy? What did you learn about him?
I learned a lot about Bert Kreischer. Mm-hmm. I think Bert Kreischer is like a walking advertisement for a good time. I think he's very authentic and genuine. And I think the thing that you just got to love about Bert is he's just so grateful and happy for everything that he has. And you just can't really hate on a guy like that. He's just so grateful for all the awesome things that are happening in his world right now, and it just kind of makes you root for the guy.
He is as genuine as they come.
Yeah.
There's not a fake bone in his body.
No. And he's a blast to hang out with. It's really, you know.
You guys did at the Super Bowl. Him in concert and went out and you drank with him in his dressing room.
Backstage with everybody. We took our shirts off. Like, we got the full experience.
We partied with the machine, no doubt.
Well, I have a feeling Jimmy taking his shirt off is much more welcome for a lot of other people than just you guys.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody wants to see us with our shirts.
That's correct.
That's
Jimmy put in. I saw the movie. Jimmy put in the work to take his shirt off.
That's natural, right? You're not working out, right?
I didn't want to work. I didn't want to get in like great shape. That didn't feel right.
I love the camera word choice, man.
Yeah, but I also didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to get like big.
Sure.
Yeah.
By the way, makes total sense. Yeah, Bert would appreciate that.
I think so.
I mean, it would be, you have to suspend your disbelief enough.
Yeah.
When you're watching an action thriller born out of his The Machine storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come and show up like, 0% body fat, I'm like, how does that Bert? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? How's that Bert?
If it's 0% body fat, it starts to feel like, is this like a dream sequence or what's going on?
Okay. So which is your teams here in Los Angeles that you root for, Jimmy?
Yeah, I grew up here in Los Angeles, so okay, I'm a diehard Lakers fan.
What do you think? Have we seen the end of LeBron? What do you think?
No, I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's I think he just wanted to play with his son.
Yes.
And now his son's going to college. So he's just kind of wondering if their timing will line up. That's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this is the end of LeBron. I don't think he's just going to go out like that. I think he would want to do one big, like, last season farewell tour. It doesn't feel very LeBron to just be like, actually, that's it. I'm gone.
Right.
He'd make a bigger deal out of it.
Well, I mean, and I just think the team has totally turned it around in a way that people saw coming.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 2-3 months for a Laker fan has to be like, okay, that's more like it.
I thought we really had a shot, to be honest, especially after the first 2 series.
Right.
I had high hopes.
Yes.
But Jokic... I mean, the crazier the shot was that he took, the more I knew it was going in. Like, when he would just put it way behind his head and he'd be like horizontally backwards that way, I'm like, 100%, that's going in.
And by the way, not even like hitting the rim either.
No, just
straight through.
Yeah.
Straight through.
Straight down to the floor.
And plus, if there is a sequel to The Machine, Jokic's brothers can be in it.
That's true. Jokic... all over Serbia. Every bus ad, every billboard. It's like
everywhere,
a bus drives by, there's Jokic doing a watch ad. You know, the Jokic billboard, it's Jokic with some cheese. It's just, Jokic's the guy out there.
Out there.
Yeah. And rightfully so. I mean,
he's the original machine.
He is. Pretty much. He should have made a cameo. That would have been...
Well, I mean, Jokic's brothers seem like they'd be on that train.
Yeah, they don't seem like they're messing around.
Yeah, no.
They seem like they'd be on the train.
They'd be on the train. Yeah, with Igor?
One of them would be Igor.
That's right, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, we saw the movie. It's funny. It's going to kill. And it is very, truthful to, and you were crucial in being truthful to the actual story.
Yeah.
It's
a fun one.
And you are in theater camp with Ben Platt on July 14th. What's that about?
That is just kind of about
a theater camp.
that is.
Well, I mean, Ben Platt is. I mean, can you sing? Can I sing? Yeah.
No, that wasn't my job in the movie. It's basically about a theater camp.
Mm-hmm.
My mom owns the theater camp. She goes into a coma.
Okay.
So the ownership and responsibilities of the camp fall onto me. Who's her clueless son, who's just so detached from the theater world and doesn't understand these people at all. So I come into this theater camp trying to run it and make sense of it and all these, eccentric theater personalities.
Okay.
So it's cool. It's kind of like my character would kind of let in an audience that might not otherwise understand some of the more niche jokes.
Okay. So you haze Evan Hansen in this film? Is that what it is? Pretty much.
Not quite.
Okay.
No.
All right. I don't want to reveal too much here, because again, I don't know what you're trying to hide more, the plot of this film or your trip to Antarctica.
I can talk about the movie.
Okay, but Antarctica is like freaking Fight Club, man. Like you're not going there at all.
Yeah, but so theater camp, you know.
So hold on a minute, just to revisit this one last time. So Bert told me to ask you about this, not because he knew the story.
No, he knows.
Oh, he knows the story.
He knows.
And he tried to get you to tell it publicly on the Bertcast.
He just wants me to feel uncomfortable because I don't want to give away names and information, you know, on TV.
So it's a humility thing, or it's just like this is personal stuff for these other people that
I just don't want to I was on a trip with some people. I don't want to go around being like, I was on a trip with this guy. You know?
Oh, so it's a humility thing.
Yeah, sure.
Next time you come on, I want you to check your humility at the door. All right?
I'm sorry.
Honestly, I mean, you have to check your humility at the door. We're a name-dropping program. It's a safe space for name droppers.
I gave a name. I dropped
a name.
I dropped a name.
Good enough.
Hey, Jimmy, how about this? Who's the most famous person, your classmate that you had at Notre Dame High School? Because I know a ton of actors and athletes come out of it.
I went to school with Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh,
if so we're talking Notre Dame High School,
you knew, go was, you knew when he was Mike.
I knew him when he was Mike.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to the NFL.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was 6'5", 6'6", as a senior in high school, like catching passes with one hand, pushing the dude off him. And then he would play strong safety. He was unbelievable. And I remember thinking freshman year, I was like, if this guy doesn't go pro as a receiver, he could be the number one punter in the NFL.
Punter?
Because this dude could punt like nothing I've ever seen before.
Giancarlo Stanton can punt?
Sends sky balls from the 20 to the end zone. It was incredible. And then basketball season came around, and I go, oh, maybe he's a basketball guy. And everyone's like, no, he's a baseball player.
And then you saw him hit a baseball?
And then I saw him hit a baseball. Like, he would hit them. He would hit them into the football field, like to the 50-yard line of the football field. He would just blast. It wasn't fair. When he would connect in high school, it was like he was a grown man amongst boys in high school.
He hit Coldwater Canyon with a ball?
Probably so. All the way from the Deep Valley. He's a punter.
He's a punter. If anyone can get the guy to punt at this point, I would love to see it, because the punts he used to throw around in high school were...
How about that? Okay.
That's what no one talks about when they talk about Giancarlo.
Nobody talks about his punting.
No, they talk about his baseball tools. The guy can hit, but no one wants to talk about his punting abilities.
His exit velocity is normally what's brought out with him.
Yeah.
But you say his hang time was just as good. How about that? Check out, it's fun time here hanging with you, The Machine in theaters near you this Friday, May 26th, Theater Camp. Also starring Ben Platt, will be in theaters on July 14th. At Jimmy on Instagram, at Jimmy Tatro on Twitter. Jimmy, thanks for coming on here, man.
Thank you.
Next time he'll check his humility at the door. When we come back, Lamar on the new look Ravens offense. When we come back.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories, and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
stuff. Celebrity True or False with Bobon. True or False, you eat soup every single day. Is that true?
Yes, true.
Why is that?
Yeah, because it's a big deal in my country, soup. And we eat soup every time. This is like when you're growing up, you say, hey, first you start your meal with the soup, and after that you can eat whatever you like.
Okay.
It's not, basically, it's like how we do. Like, when you eat soup, like, basically, you feel like you're healthy because, like, a little bit fuller stomach.
Oh, sure.
And, like, not hungry too much.
So do you, at some point during the day, oh, you know what, I haven't eaten soup yet. I need to have my soup. You have had that.
Yes.
Okay, what is your favorite soup?
Buttermilk squash, chicken noodle soup, tomato soup, mushroom soup, everything, like.
Okay. Have you thought about making your own line of soup? Bobon soup.
Bobon soup. You know, like, this is a good idea. I would think about it.
Here, let's pound that out.
I would think about it.
Pound that out. Very good.
I would think about it.
Next one for Bobon. Celebrity True or False with Bobon.
False.
You do not like, you do not like cake. You do not like cake.
No cakes. Not big fan.
Why? What's wrong with cake?
No cakes. I like small desserts. Like, if I eat something, I will eat, like, something, like, really, like, to enjoy, because small.
Did you get? They're all small.
Yeah, they're all small too.
So if I have you over for dinner, soup, Nutella crepe.
Yes.
Okay, that's the.
They're easy.
That's a combination. That's very simple.
This like a couple bucks, nothing more, nothing too much.
Last one for you, Bobon. True or false? You love to shake hands. Is that true?
But, like, to be honest, people more like to shake my hands than like to shake. You know, every time, okay. when somebody come to me, like, I just come from the restroom, I wash my hands, I ready to eat food.
You're right, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like walking like this. I hope somebody not shake my hands. And that time, like, somebody comes, hey, how are you? And I was like, how are you?
That's when you go with the fist pound, right there.
Yeah,
you
know, I know.
Fun stuff back in the day. Before we leave here today, one of the biggest mysteries of the upcoming season, as I've mentioned over and over and over again, is what in the world will the Ravens offense look like with Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, out, and Todd Monken, formerly in the NFL, and also most recently the Georgia Bulldogs, in. We don't know. Is it going to be that 3 yards in a cloud of dust and then Lamar runs it when he doesn't have his one option open? Mark Andrews?
I mean, he got some options.
He sure does, doesn't he? Odell in the mix and Zay Flowers being drafted and Rashad Bateman being healthy and Mark Andrews being back and Isaiah Likely being another tight end that's pretty damn good. And obviously J.K. Dobbins a year removed from coming back with a knee injury, and the same thing with Gus Edwards. Let's go, right? Let's go. And Lamar now pizzade, heavy pockets, to use the phrase that Dion used back in the day.
Heavy pockets.
He's playing with heavy pockets. Now then, Lamar today on the new Ravens offense.
The new offense is smooth, more verbiage than usual. I like it. I'm loving it so far.
There you go. Got nothing else. It's smooth.
Smooth.
More verbiage. You're going to get nothing. And by the way, you know what they should do in the preseason is run the same offense as last year. Use Greg Roman's playbook. I know that sounds stupid.
Not during the games, run the old stuff.
Yes. Just do it.
Only practice the new stuff.
Practice the new stuff.
I wouldn't play
reveal
Lamar.
None of the new stuff. 0.0. Don't even play Lamar in the preseason, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't play Lamar.
It's new
Puffley's
time, right?
Yeah, no
like
chance.
The first time we see Lamar, let me get it right, week one. We know it's not a nationally televised game because they only have one in the first 11 weeks. No, I don't know. The Ravens.
Don't play him.
The Ravens have an international game against Tennessee in week 6, and then they've got a Sunday night game in week 12. And they got a Thursday nighter against Cincinnati. And other than that, you got to tune into your local stations.
Tell you what, you come out and drop 50 on Houston and say, what's up?
There's a chance that could happen too, man.
Like all of a sudden, the red zone is just like, Lamar, touchdown. Zay Flowers, 80 yards. You're like, whoa. And then suddenly,
like his MVP season in Miami.
Miami, where they threw 55 on Miami or something, whatever.
Yeah, and he had 5 touchdown passes week 1 or something like that. Yeah. Big mystery. And we're all sitting here thinking, it's the same world as last 2 years. It's Burrow's world. It's Mahomes' world. It's Allen's world. And it's who's going to get that fourth seat in musical chairs in the divisional weekend when it's just 4 teams left. 2 years ago, it was Tannehill. Yep. Last year, it was Trevor Lawrence. This year, you know, a lot of folks are thinking what I'm thinking. It's Aaron Rodgers. And then, of course, there's the Ravens saying, hello. Hello. We have no idea. Although, is it smooth? And it's very wordy. Smooth and wordy.
Smooth and wordy.
Smooth and wordy. By the way, my favorite smooth ice cream flavor.
Yes.
Smooth and wordy.
Is that new at Ben and Jerry's?
I don't know. Smooth and wordy. I'll take two scoops, please.
Would you like a sugar cone or in a bowl?
You know who's on tomorrow? Henry Winkler's on tomorrow. Yeah. As if this world doesn't need enough smiles. Henry's coming back. You know? Henry's coming back.
Guess who's back?
Thank you to Jimmy Tatro, Chris Olave, Lane Johnson, and Chris Mannix in studio. We're back, people.